going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Mark Reardon.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Mark Reardon.
There's all these new words that are just meant to keep one person from disagreeing with another person's position.
And you have to be pithy. What do I mean by pithy? How about this? Republicans want to kill your kids.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Yeah, of course they do, right? They want to kill your kids. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We have most of the team here. Fred is here. Ethan is in the studio. Sue Thomas is not here. You know, Fred, if Sue was here, I would probably start with this. I'm going to start with it anyway. When I was driving in, Ethan and I called you on, well, I'm coming in on eastbound 44. On westbound 44, they had the whole damn thing shut down because I guess it was a fatal accident that was earlier today. But it looked really, really interesting because there was a black car. This is what I saw. I saw a black car that was kind of spun out in the middle of the road and maybe like 10 police cruisers or something like that right behind it. And then it was maybe a full mile where they were rerouting traffic. It looked really bad. So my instinct was, and I think I'm wrong about this, is I thought it was something more than just a traffic accident. But I guess it's a fatal accident. And then, you know, they treat it as a crime scene, right?
Yeah, they have to do a reconstruction whenever there's a fatal accident. So I guess that's what, you know, they had to block it all off and take time to do that.
Well, it was nasty, and I hope that the traffic, we have Trent this afternoon who's going to guide us through this, and I hope the traffic situation is improved because that was a mess. And I was surprised that they were, you know, taking people right off the highway. Did you watch the congressional baseball game, Fred?
I did. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier. Chad Pergram, Eric was with us a couple of nights ago, Eric Schmidt, who was, let's face it, one of the stars of the game last night. We'll play a highlight. But he even mentioned that Chad Pergram from Fox is one of the guys that every year, he's a news guy, right? But he
right.
did the play-by-play.
He's the congressional correspondent.
He did the play-by-play on FS1 last night. And Ethan, did you watch any of this by any chance?
I did not get to watch it last night.
I think you would have really enjoyed it. I really do. Now, the Republicans won the game, what was it, 13-2, Fred?
Right.
All right, here's a little bit of a highlight here with Eric.
Tough break. GOP already leading 3-0. Gets a hold of that one. Rocket down the left field line. That one's going to the corner.
I think that was his second at-bat. I think
right.
I missed the
I think
first
he
at-bat.
Walked his first at-bat.
And then the third at-bat, he was hit in the back, so he took first base. For a while, there was not a lot of scoring in that game. There
right.
really wasn't. And last year, I think last year's 31-11, so there was a lot of scoring. It's interesting to watch these guys. Some of them are athletes. Some of them are clearly not athletes, but they move slowly, don't they, Fred?
You know, and the simple plays become the hardest plays, like a pop-up.
Well, that's
just
what I mean.
Don't assume it's going to be caught.
Yeah, because I went to this game like 6 or 7 years ago, and it was one of the games that the Republicans did not win. They've won now 5 in a row. But the thing that I always say, and I think I may have said this to Senator Schmidt the other night, I've talked about it before, is you really have an appreciation for professional athletes and how quickly they move. For example, if there's a pop-up that's down the line, right, anybody who is on a professional baseball team is generally going to get to that pop-up and make the play. In this particular situation, they never make the play. They're not, you know, fast enough. But they did win the Republicans last night.
That one's in there for the strikeout, and that's going to do it. What a night for the GOP. They've done it again. 13-2 is your final score. Five straight. And you know what, Chad, you said coming in, every now and again, you just kind of get on a roll. And from that very first big defensive play by August Pfluger, they poured it on late, and the GOP once again celebrates a victory.
So one of the things that was very interesting is they had a really good crowd there. Here's the numbers. My friend Kenny Hulsoff, who is a lobbyist now, used to be a congressman, and he ran for governor. So the final score is 13-2. They sold 22,191 tickets. There were 9,214 comps. Now, Fred, one of your sons used to work on Capitol Hill, right?
Yeah, Noah worked in Ann Wagner's office. So he went probably
a few years
the year
ago.
After COVID.
Yeah, I remember
so
that.
Like 21
so
or
I think they try to get the staffers. A lot of the staffers are there. So they comp some tickets. But they raised $2.8 million last night. It was a record attendance and a record amount raised. So that was pretty
That's
cool.
That's awesome.
And what's interesting is I think they even said this on the game. You know, that was a bigger draw than many of the major league games that day.
Oh, absolutely.
With stars making tens of millions of dollars.
And it was also, maybe it was because where they sold the tickets, but if you were watching the game, it didn't look like at first, like behind home plate, it didn't look like there were a ton of people there. But then when they scanned out to the rest of the stadium, and there were people in the concourses and stuff, but it was good. And Schmidt did pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, look, did you watch the highlight, Ether, or not?
Of what?
Of Schmidt that we just played.
No, I did not see it.
He ripped that ball down the line. I think he scored. I think he got an RBI. It was down over third base. It goes to the left field corner. But then he gets a little ambitious, and he goes for third. And they called him out. I'm going to say called him out at third, because I think if that would have gone to review, he would have been safe. Fred, what do you think?
Oh, I think he was safe. And what was interesting was it was a hard slide. And the third base
slide.
Congressman, and I can't remember what his name was, had to kind of like reach for the ball, catch it, lean in, and tag him sliding in hard. I mean, Eric didn't slide until he was almost there. So I'm amazed that he held on to the ball.
So I have a couple of quick comments to make about this. One, it's amazing they raised so much money. Two, the one highlight that I did see outside of the final out was, did you see that diving play they mentioned right there at the end of the broadcast? Did you see that?
I don't think I saw that at the end.
So whoever was playing third base for the Republicans, his runner's on first and second, and he makes this diving play to his right, down the line. Great play. He fields the ball, and then he dives to third, and he tags it with the glove to get the force out. And that's the play that they were talking about that kind of, I guess, kind of turned the momentum and got it going for the Republicans. So that play was super awesome. You never expect to see that quality of a play in a congressional baseball game. And then finally, I think Eric Schmidt said the other day when he was joining us that he had moved from the four spot in the lineup to the two spot.
That's right.
I hear he gets on base three times.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's doing two hole in the lineup kind of things.
The guy, the names are kind of losing me right now, but there was a Democrat congressman that was the shortstop for the Democrats. And at one point, there was like a little blooper fly.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure Mason Wynn would have made that. Well, he would have. Let's face it. He would have. But, you know, it's one of those where your back is facing to home plate. And he dropped the ball, and it looked like something that maybe, you know, someone could make. But then there was one stab to him that was really impressive. Like, there were a couple of times you're like, yeah, these are old guys trying to, you know, fake everyone out and be baseball players. And then there were a couple plays where I was really impressed with the athletic ability. And they take it seriously. You know, they go, they practice. Of course, that's where the shooting took place with Steve Scalise. The other thing they did is they had a couple of, and I think this happened with Schmidt. He gets on first base after he was hit. And they had a pinch runner, right?
They even had pinch runners at the plate who would run from the plate to home base.
So one guy.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so one guy had like several knee operations. He was a big, tall guy.
Yeah.
And he's up there, and you could see right, you know, alongside him, the runner is set. I don't even think he had the chance because I think he struck out, but that was one interesting component.
How was the interaction between the two teams? Like, were they clearly having fun, or was
it's like a celebrity softball tournament.
That's good, because there's real, in today's day and age, there is just so little of that where, you know, the two sides are, you know, able to just chop up and have a good time and, you know, do something for a good cause. So it is relieving to have these kinds of things.
I think we saw a little bit of that here. Kristi Noem had a news conference, and this is going a little viral. There was a senator that crashed that and was arrested. This is what they want, right? This is some of the things that Newsom wants. We have some interesting comments, I think, from President Trump today on immigration. So we're going to get to that. But let me also start with this plane crash, because this is one of those things, like, if it happened in our country, Fred, I think you would admit, there would be nonstop coverage of this. So I heard this morning, really early, and I thought I heard like 260 people had died. I'm like, wait a second. So then as the morning goes along, I had to take my daughter to swimming, and I'm monitoring Fox, and I know that you were here, you know, monitoring, and we're pulling audio and stuff. But it wasn't a situation where, because of the immigration, because of other stories, Fox wasn't covering it nonstop. I don't know that CNN was. So it hasn't gotten a lot of attention. But this was an Air India passenger jet that crashed moments after takeoff. And one survivor. How did one person survive? Yeah. 242 people were aboard. It hit some sort of complex on the ground as well. I guess they say that there were 269 bodies that were brought to the main hospital. Here's a guy named Ken Christensen talking about it.
Well, it appears that they crashed close to the runway on climb out because it was an international flight. You have to assume they had a lot of fuel on. They were a very heavyweight takeoff. But something that I saw on one of the videos that was concerning was that the gear were down, but the flaps were not deployed. So when you take off, you do need flaps for additional lift. Because of a very modern airplane, the airplane would be, you know, talking to you and giving you warnings that your flaps were not configured. So I would have really imagined that a crew wouldn't depart with the flaps not configured, but maybe shortly after takeoff, the flaps retracted, or the crews retracted the flaps prematurely, or there was a mechanical error.
So what you see here, this is weird to me, and I don't know. They're not saying terrorism, are they?
No.
Okay. Ethan, you've seen the video.
It was horrific. But
they barely get up in the air.
Yeah,
it's just like
it went
very
up and
quick.
It went down.
Any other takeoff, they're up in the air, and then all of a sudden, it almost looks like he's trying to make an emergency landing, because he's just coming down. There's nothing that's violent about the plane coming down.
It only was up at 600 feet.
I believe the one survivor said something along the lines of, you know, 30 seconds or so after takeoff, they heard this loud noise, and then shortly after, they're crashing.
So what is that? I mean, here's that guy talking about the cause here.
You know, again, I've been asked this question quite a few times this year. There's just been an overabundance of aircraft crashes this year, or incidents, but overall, still, the aircraft industry is very safe mode of transportation. It's just very spectacular. Like this morning, when these incidents happen, even though it's one incident, a lot of people perish, and that's on the news, and all of us fly, and that's very concerning to the flying public.
That was one of the first things that I thought of, because there have been so many of these this year that it's odd.
And there was a plane in Boston today that went off the runway.
Yes. Yeah, so what happened with that? Do you know? Because I heard some of the coverage of that.
They shut everything down, and it was just off into the grass.
Yeah, that's bizarre. So President Trump had a, this was about the California EV mandate, right? He peeled back the EV mandate, which I remember talking about this, Fred, when it first came out, and we thought it wasn't going to be any sort of realistic. You would have had clean car rules that would have required car companies to sell in California increasing percentages of zero emission or long range hybrid vehicles. And in 2035, it would have culminated with the ban of the sale of any gas cars. They would not have been able to do it. So I have great audio from that. He weighed in on the immigration issue. Kristi Noem had her news conference today. Fred, what am I missing? There's a bunch of other stuff that's going on today, too. Josh Hawley is calling for, you know, a question about who's paying for these rallies.
Did you mention the Miranda Devine tape?
Miranda Devine did a news conference, not a news conference, she did a podcast with Trump. And here, this is kind of funny, a funny question.
Do you ever play an instrument?
I played, like, for very short periods of time, the flute. Would you believe that?
Did you like it?
I had flute lessons. It's the first person that's ever asked me that crazy question. Yeah, I had flute, can you believe it? I could have been a flutist. I didn't particularly like it. I don't know. It wasn't for me.
You know what you'll hear on the Legacy Media tonight? He said flutist. He did not say flautist. He should have said flutist. So we're going to cover that. I'm going to talk about the Dome. Ethan, when's the last time you were at the Dome over here?
Oh, geez.
Did you go to any Battlehawks games?
No. Okay. It's been 15
years.
So
I hate that place. I really do. They're going to spend $54 million to do some upgrades. But some of it, and we talked about this yesterday, is going to be in locker rooms. And I don't even know how cosmetically it will change its appearance.
Yeah, affect it.
Yeah, well, but I don't think very much. So Tom right. Oldenburg, who's a member of the Board of Aldermen, is going to join us this afternoon and talk about that. We have Heather McDonald tonight. She's always great on crime issues. She's going to weigh in on immigration. We'll have, we may be attacking Iran. There's been evacuations of some U.S. facilities overseas that have been ordered by President Trump. He did address that earlier today. Brad Young's going to join us this afternoon. And do not miss Franny Block, who's coming up next. She writes at the Free Press. And there's things happening in the Philadelphia schools that are just unbelievably outrageous. We'll get to that and more. Unfortunately, no Sue Thomas today, but we got a pinch hitter. We're coming back with more in a moment.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
There is a ton of immigration stuff that I'm going to cover today. We'll get to it. We have great audio from President Trump. And then I mentioned something happened at Kristi Noem's event as well. We're going to get to all that. We got a lot to cover today. But look, there's important topics outside of that. And I think I've declared my love and affection for the Free Press on many occasions because they do some great reporting over there. And I read a story by Franny Block, who's with us this afternoon, on a situation in Philadelphia. And I think when you hear the details of this, you'll say, hey, how much is this happening here in St. Louis or elsewhere? Because it's just outrageous. It needs to be highlighted. Franny, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
Doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
So this has to do with public high schools in history in Philadelphia, right?
Yes. So my story for the Free Press, it covers the history and social studies curriculum at Philadelphia's public schools. Now, this is the curriculum that is developed by the district and recommended to teachers. They can choose whether or not to use it. But essentially, through my reporting, what I found is that this curriculum has a very strong, essentially anti-American bent to it. And again, this is an issue I've covered, frankly, across the country, which is this growing trend in teaching as well of having teachers teach students what to think about a subject, not how to think about a subject. And this curriculum is kind of riddled with that, where it'll tell students, for example, the opening anecdote is a lesson plan in the Gilded Age in progressivism. And it asks students a question, what do you need to overthrow oppression? And then on top of that, one of the kind of learning goals that students are meant to take away from this unit is that new horizons of industry lead to greed and exploitation. And so, again, you can start to see how this leans into a very, frankly, far-left view of America that, you know, is up for debate and conversation. If this were posed to students as saying, let's debate this, do you agree, disagree, I think that'd be one thing. But these ideas are being presented to high school students in Philadelphia as fact.
Yeah, I want to get to more specific examples, but explain who Ismael Jimenez is, because he's the director of social studies, and you offer some stark examples of things that he's done. Look, I have a son who is a social studies teacher. I've jokingly said indoctrinator because, you know, we don't necessarily agree on the politics. He's up in Chicago right now. But you worry, at least I worry, because I have a 10-year-old daughter right now, and she watches something in class called CNN 10. Are you familiar with CNN 10?
I'm not.
So they do something that is, and I think they even do a podcast, during the school year, the kids can watch a little, you know, capsule of the news on CNN, and it's 10 minutes, and it sort of goes through the different stories of the day. I've watched a couple of these, and they're not as blatant as what you're going to highlight here, but there's still a pretty big bent to it, and a lot of it is because of racial issues, et cetera. So I guess my point on that is the brainwashing starts relatively early, but then you have examples of this guy, which are even worse, I think, as you highlight in your story.
Right. So Ismael Jimenez, he didn't respond to my request for comments, unfortunately, when I was piece, but he's the director of social studies curriculum in the Philadelphia public school system. So he's kind of the person leading the charge in developing the district's curriculum, and he helped to develop this high school curriculum that I highlight here in this piece. And even just kind of looking through his public-facing profile on Instagram, on Facebook, you start to see that he is, like many teachers and curriculum developers in the country, of the opinion that teachers aren't meant to be activists. They are meant to raise students who are student activists, and they see education as kind of this ability to make change in the world. But in doing so, it's, again, to teach students how to think about the world through a very or what to think about the world, I'm sorry, through a very specific world lens. And going through his Instagram, you'll see he'll post things of the American flag, for example, being thrown in the trash. He compared the United States to the Soviet Union and North Korea. These aren't necessarily mild views. These are pretty extreme views about the United States. And again, he's in charge of helping to guide social studies curriculum for the nearly 200,000 students in Philadelphia.
Yeah, the 331 schools. This is one of the largest school districts in the country. He says on Instagram, every child should walk into a classroom and feel the revolution stirring in the air, because that's what real education is, liberation with a syllabus. And you mentioned that there's, you know, the image of the flag being thrown in the trash. My question would be, God bless you, Franny, for doing this story and highlighting it. But one of the questions should be, why aren't other media outlets, like, we're not going to see this on CBS Sunday Morning or anything like that. That's problematic to me, because it's hard for me to believe that this is only happening in Philadelphia, and I think we know that it's not. It's probably happening here in St. Louis. They hire consultants to go around and teach this stuff. We had a big scandal here in St. Louis Public Schools where we had a new superintendent that came in, took a $17 million surplus and put it into a $32 million deficit. And one of the things that they did was hire all these touchy-feely woke, you know, people to come in and do the educating of the educators. But then you get to some of the examples here of what they did, some of the assignments in the classroom that are really outrageous.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, you may not see stories like this in all outlets across the country. I think that's part of why the Free Press exists, is to cover a lot of those stories that, frankly, go uncovered. But I'll add, this is a story about Philadelphia. You just mentioned an example of this in St. Louis. I did a story about a year ago about, in California, school districts were paying an outside nonprofit group who was essentially using that money to then pay students to become student activists for different causes.
Yeah.
And so you see this across the country. It is not unique to just Philly, the California school system, nor is it unique to St. Louis. This is something that's happening across the country. And again, I think it goes back to what I'm starting to see is the development of a whole new philosophy of what it means to be a teacher. And I do think that there is this growing group of people, and perhaps the teachers' unions are also a part of why this has gained so much prominence, who believe that teachers are meant to teach students to be activists. And I think it's now reflecting in the curriculum and the way that students are being taught about how to view the world. And I think, again, you mentioned this happening in kindergarten. It happens in kindergarten, it happens in middle school, it happens in high school, and I think you're seeing the product of that on college campuses as well.
So you have an African-American history assignment that asks students to select a song to replace the national anthem after, quote, critically examining race and racism. And they write scenarios that represent racism, systemic racism, bias, white supremacy, white privilege, discrimination, racial justice. I mean, they're not really dancing around any of this, are they?
No, not at all. It's pretty clear. And, you know, you mentioned Jimenez, who's the curriculum director. He's pretty clear about it as well on his public-facing Instagram page. There was a case, actually, where a teacher was actively suing the Philadelphia School District for anti-Semitism in the workplace after October 7th. And he responded to an Instagram post about the lawsuit and just said, white tears. So I think you're getting a really strong picture of who are the people that are shaping the curriculum that are teaching hundreds of thousands of students.
And this is an important point that you make in the piece. You have students in Philadelphia. Look, I think that, and I keep mentioning David Zweig's book, An Abundance of Caution, because I think his book is important. He goes through what happened during COVID and how a lot of these kids were affected. I think that's an important book, you know, even compared to the Jake Tapper book right now, because it affected so many people. But Philadelphia is not exactly knocking it out of the park when it comes to student performance, right?
Not at all. According to the most recent national assessment data, just 18% of Philadelphia's eighth graders are considered at or above proficient in reading. And that's compared to 30% nationwide, which already is a pretty abysmal number. And Philadelphia is just at 18% in that metric. So again, these students, they're not being taught to read, and yet they're being taught this very specific narrow worldview. And I think I've learned from so many different teachers and parents that I've spoken to in school districts across the country, there is such frustration about this, that so much effort and energy is put into teaching students curriculum that is very activist focused. Meanwhile, the basics, how to read, how to do math, that often gets lost. And I think you're seeing that reflected in these really upsetting test scores.
You know, and Franny, I've made the case, and I hope I'm right about this, that I think that there has been a lot of awareness on certain issues, certainly in the last couple of years, maybe since the election, that are important, whether it's a cultural issue or something else where maybe the tide is turning. Certainly I can mention the trans ideology, especially because here in St. Louis, we had Jamie Reed, who was the whistleblower. But when it comes to education, I hate to be so pessimistic, I see things like this exposed, but I never see anything addressed, because these teachers, they feel, and the superintendents even, they feel empowered right now. And they don't seem to be moving in a direction that, you know, let's use the, what comes up a lot in the news is the Tulsa race riot, right? Oh, conservatives are trying to keep that from the classroom. No, I'm saying we should do that. But is there any balance when it comes to the anti-Americanism that's going on? And I think your report in Philadelphia shows, no, there is not any balance.
Unfortunately, I think that this is a growing trend across the country, this kind of anti-American type curriculum. And I don't necessarily see the tide turning quite yet. I think the best sign of that is going to be what happens within the teachers' unions. And I think when we start hearing the teachers' unions take a different approach to education, that's when we'll start to see changes being implemented. And right now, I'm not quite seeing that. I think especially if you go and look at kind of the resolutions that the teachers union is discussing in its yearly conferences, it's very social justice activism focused. And I think that's a reflection, again, also of what we're seeing in the classroom.
Well, this is great work here. And we have barely, you know, even given examples that you give countless examples here of this curriculum. I'm going to post it on Twitter. Franny Block, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. I mean, some of this is like students are taught to examine the development of American foreign policy through the lens of historical race and racism. An assignment about Ronald Reagan and American conservatism. Oh, you would think that maybe they're fair there. No, it asks students to write a critical analysis of the American narrative versus, quote, reality. on topics such as the war on drugs. Wartime propaganda during World War II created the base for a culture of national unity across the United States. Look, there was wartime propaganda. We know that. But the way that they're doing this and the way that they're spinning this is rather outrageous. And it's happening here in St. Louis. I'm fully confident. By the way, it's happening in Webster Groves and Kirkwood. Unfortunately, it's not just the cities.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've already had a couple of people chime in here asking about the YouTube stream and Twitter. And unfortunately, we use something called StreamYard, which helps us, you know, access those platforms. Ethan can tell you much more about that. It is down today. So we're trying to work on that. We'll get the stream up as soon as possible. I appreciate people who go to the stream and listen on there. We usually have a fair amount of folks who are checking out the show. Unfortunately, that cannot happen today. We had protests in St. Louis yesterday. I was encouraged that they stayed relatively peaceful. There was no violence. We were worried about a highway being shut down. Of course, this weekend you have the No Kings protest, and President Trump was asked about that earlier.
I don't feel like a king. I have to go through hell to get stuff approved. A king would say, I'm not going to get this. A king would have never had the California mandate to even be talking to him. He wouldn't have to call up Mike Johnson and Thune and say, fellas, you got to pull this off. And after years, we get it done. No, we're not a king. We're not a king.
That was a great answer. He was in a very jovial mood earlier as he canceled the EV mandates. Cassie Smedley is with us, former RNC spokesman, to talk about a bunch of things politics. Cassie, how are you this afternoon? Welcome back to the show.
Yeah. Hey, Mark. I'm well, and it's great to be with you.
How about the situation? I don't know where we should even start with immigration, and I don't know if you saw the I don't know what you would call it, almost like a takedown of a senator here when Kristi Noem was doing her news conference, and President Trump addressed this issue with immigration today. But here we go again with lawlessness, and referring to the protests this weekend. No one really knows what to expect. I don't know what to expect. I don't know if it's going to get violent. I don't know if police resources are going to be, you know, strung thin. They're thin enough here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy, crazy time.
It is. And it's made all the more concerning by two things. One, what we've seen, and we all remember this from the, quote, summer of love back in 2020, that what starts as maybe
an organic group of a few citizens very quickly gets co-opted by the dark money funded professional agitators who come into these cities, set up shop, and their whole goal is to make news. Their whole goal is to go viral. Their whole goal is to cause disruption and mayhem, whether it be to a federal building, to our police officers, or as we saw in the video that started going viral yesterday in New York City, that woman who was trying to get to work and couldn't get through the protesters.
Now you have,
and they didn't care.
In that particular case, here's the other thing about this. And if you look at the videos and you look at what's happening, and now I guess in Brooklyn today there were cars that were set on fire. Is it my imagination or a lot of these people not people of color? They're white punk kids, Antifa members or whatever.
And isn't it amazing? Yeah, I call them the latte liberals. That, first of all, don't they have jobs? Who's paying them? Who's propping them up? Are they all living in their parents' basement? Or are they being funded by these dark money groups? How can they literally afford to spend their days protesting? And I remember when I worked on Capitol Hill, you'd see these protesters, they pop up one day protesting war and the next day protesting pollution. The same people would show up. It was the same faces with a different sign. I imagine a lot of that is happening here as well, that the cause, whether it's, you know, being anti-Semitic and anti-Israel, or now they're being anti-ICE, it's the same people and the same cause.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to them because that's their payday, and they're being encouraged by these Democrat lawmakers, which, just to put a fine point on that, as you talked about Senator Padilla, that they are hitching their wagon to the wrong star. The polling is not on their side. Voters do not like this constant unrest. And it just baffles my mind that Democrats can't call a spade and are siding with essentially the agitators.
Well, right. But a lot of that, as you know, and, you know, you mentioned the Summer of Love. We feel a little left out here in St. Louis. We started all this with Ferguson in 2014. But the way that the media covers these stories also has a big influence. On the question of who's paying for this, here's Senator Hawley from Missouri here.
Chicago to St. Louis to Seattle, New York, everywhere. We got to figure out who is behind this. These aren't spontaneous at all. They're about as authentic as AstroTurf. They are bought and paid for flash mobs. And I want to know who's doing the buying and the paying. We've all seen the videos of vans driving up, handing out gas masks right before somebody blows up a car. It's time we found out, where's the money coming from? Who's really behind this? I think the American people deserve answers.
Cassie, I think people want answers to that. Unfortunately, I think if you dig into the answers, some of this is going to be NGOs. I think our taxpayer dollars are paying for the agitators, which is even more infuriating.
Absolutely. And we know one of those groups, what was it, got like $37 million in taxpayer-funded grants. So you're exactly right. I would say one silver lining, because frankly, I used to work in an opposition research firm, and it's really hard to figure out who's paying for this. They are pretty smart about how they organize these dark money groups so that you don't, you don't have to know that it's George Soros or Hans Wiese or the WEF. It's hard to know, and they're purposeful in how they do that. However, I will say one thing, because remember in the Summer of Love, when Kamala Harris was giving to the bail funds, and or you have in California, no bail. So these guys would go in one door and go out the other a couple hours later. But one thing I noticed that Attorney General Pam Bondi made a point of the other day when she was talking is that they are going to charge these people federally, so that there won't be any of these game playing with them going in and then being detained for a couple of hours and then let go just to go out and do it again. That they put the warning out that if they interfere with the work of federal agents, that they will be charged federally. And I hope that that serves as some sort of deterrent, because otherwise these folks know that if they set up these agitations, these protests, which we know are not peaceful, in these blue cities and blue states, they essentially can get away with it. And so I do think that that's an interesting stipulation that the Trump administration, and in particular the Justice Department, is putting on these.
I hope they can get some answers. Cassie Smedley is here, former RNC spokesperson. Let me take you into some more media issues. How about the Terry Moran suspension? By the way, has he been dealt with since that happened the other night? He goes out late at night on Saturday night, I guess maybe even early Sunday morning, and talks about Stephen Miller calling him dangerous, et cetera. There's a lot of people that retweet that. ABC, I guess you can say maybe to their credit, they suspend him. I saw something that was covered where, you know, I think it was the New York Post, they were saying that staffers were infuriated that Terry Moran did something like that. I find that hard to believe, okay? My interpretation would be staffers are pretty happy that he did that. They're just, you know, disappointed that ABC suspended him.
Right, that he was punished. And in fact, he has since been let go completely, and he's gone where all the washed up fake journalists go, Substack. He just started a Substack account that he says we'll hear more from him in the coming days. And you remember, you know, Jim Acosta's over there now. Oh, yeah. And some of the other crazies. But here's my thing, because he did just get caught. This isn't the first time that he's shown his true stripes. And I'm a little conflicted on this. I'm glad he's out at ABC. ABC has known this about him for a long time. And again, they were probably just upset that he finally went even too far for them. But I want these people to show us who they are so that I know how to read the lens with which to read the information that they're putting out and to make of it what I will or dismiss it. But we should not, as the public, be forced to take in this information and pretend that it's unbiased. And certainly, as is the case of, I'm sure you saw Congress yesterday took the first steps to defund NPR and PBS, taxpayers should not be paying for biased information going out. That's not okay either. So I'm glad he's gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what,
though? ABC needs... Yeah.
You broke news to me because I did not know that they let him go. I had missed that part of the equation. So that was one of the reasons I brought it up. So they fired him. But again, then he's part of the Jim Acosta resistance. Jim Acosta was doing a, you know, let's light candles last week. And I think that when they show their stripes, maybe there was some contractual situation where he knew he was at the end, or maybe there was a little alcohol involved late at night. But they seem to get a second turn here, but I'm with you. I've been tracking media bias since 2008. You know, I'm sorry, since 1998, when Bernie Goldberg wrote his book Bias, and I've been preaching about it for three decades. But finally, there's evidence of it. We know that what Yuri Berliner wrote last year—it's undeniable, right? All the things that we saw throughout the debate, the ignorance and willful ignorance to not cover President Biden the way that he should have. Mm-hmm. But I still fear this: that in all of these situations, and I would say this exists with immigration right now as well. I don't watch the Today Show anymore. I don't watch the CBS This Morning show. I watch CNN just a little bit, mainly for my guy, Scott Jennings. But my sense would be these stories are still in biased ways being presented to a majority of people, certainly on NPR, and they don't know or they're unaware of how much bias exists because they're not paying attention. I'm not criticizing people, but they're not inside this like you are or talking about it like I am. So most people, I send the Yuri Berliner piece all the time, even to my sister. You know, that's dangerous to do with family members. I said, don't believe me in what I'm saying about media bias. Read the guy that's been working with these people in the inside all this time. He's exposing it. But even in the best situations, I think a lot of this is still leaving a lot of people in the dark about the level of bias that exists.
That's right. It takes a long time to undo people's preconceived notions about something. We grew up thinking AP was the true north. You know, that was
the Associated Press, right? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Turns out, no, they're just as far left as the rest of them. So it's taking a minute to unwind our brains around all of this and to know that it's everywhere, which is why, frankly, I'm in favor of, like, just wave your flag. Just let me know where you stand. Don't pretend to be biased. We all have a bias. I have a bias for or against Meghan Markle. I have a bias for or against the Kansas City Royals and the St. Louis Cardinals. Wave your flag, because you know I'm a Kansas City gal, Mark.
I know.
But so wave your
flag. You mean a Kansas City Royals Kansas team, because that's where they're going to probably move?
Mm-mm. Watch your mouth.
We'll see.
But next time we'll bring my dad in. He's got a lot of thoughts on this. Yeah. But anyway, but we all have a bias. So just wave your flag and let me know what it is. I think the era of the newsman, the unbiased newsman who's just bringing you the evening news, is over, and we see through it. And frankly, these news networks in particular, you mentioned the Today Show, all that, they're not going to regain any credibility with the viewing public until they make some effort to admit they have a problem. That's the first step, right? Yeah, and then to actually do something about it. Because I do think people are wising up. Even just in my mom's circles, we have a text chain going about, like, I can't believe that the Today Show covered that that way.
Well, that's good.
And these aren't necessarily hyper-political people. But, you know,
okay,
we
well,
are seeing
good.
That it's permeated everywhere. Yeah. But it's not enough. It's happening, but it's not there yet.
That's encouraging to hear you say that, because I still think a lot of people are in the dark. Cassie, always great to have you on. I'm worried that the Kansas City Royals are going to move to Kansas. They're offering their blank check, but we'll talk about it more next time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
We'll get your dad on. All right, one of the media stories that is emerging here this afternoon, I'm just going to be honest, we have so much good audio and so many things to cover this afternoon. We never have enough time, but Democrat Senator Alex Padilla was physically removed from a Los Angeles press conference held by Kristi Noem, the Homeland Security Secretary. President Trump was visiting with the media, answered a lot of questions earlier today, and then Kristi Noem had her news conference, and then Padilla was seen being grabbed and pushed out. I've only seen some of the video of this, Fred. You grabbed some audio because now he's trying to explain himself. But listen to this. This is even a CBS reporter, Carter Evans. Listen to this take on this.
He indicated that he didn't identify himself and that people who want to ask a question should identify themselves before making a move toward the podium. I'm really not surprised that they responded in the way that they did when someone is making a unexpected rapid move towards the podium where the DHS secretary is speaking.
So that's a CBS guy saying, right, yeah, right. Maybe I would have taken him down too if this happened. So he says, and this is his spin, that he began to ask a question and was immediately forcibly removed from the room. Chuck Schumer is already involved in this, but that's not exactly what really happened.
I'll let the law enforcement speak to how this situation was handled, but I will say that it's people need to identify themselves before they start lunging at people that during press conferences.
She says, well, I think she has a little bit more here.
I was there peacefully. At one point, I had a question. And so I began to ask a question. I was almost immediately forcibly removed from the room. I was forced to the ground. And I was handcuffed.
So he sounds a little emotional there. You can't convince me that that's not exactly what he wanted to happen. Now, the narrative is different. Only, you know, one thing if Kristi Noem is telling the story there, but the CBS reporter that we just played say, yeah, you know what? That was kind of an interesting situation. Noem said that they had a meeting afterwards. Did you hear this, Fred?
Yeah, they exchanged phone numbers.
They exchanged phone numbers. So she said that she and Padilla exchanged phone numbers. But what do they expect? They said on the official account of Homeland Security that Padilla was told repeatedly to back away and did not comply with officers' repeated commands. Secret Service thought he was an attacker. Officers acted appropriately. In the videos that I've seen, and I haven't heard the audio, he you know, looks like he's doing something clearly inappropriate. They take him down and they handcuff him because they don't know he's a senator. I think it's pretty, you know, interesting right now that the information is coming out, and this is what Chuck Schumer says. He says that the manhandling of a United States senator, and he was sickened by the incident and demanded immediate answers to what the hell went on. Well, what the hell went on is he didn't identify himself properly. Here's a perfect example. We were just talking to Cassie Smedley about this. So how will this incident be covered in the media? Like, if you turn on the Today Show tomorrow, or even if you watch CNN, now I can expect Jennings is going to kind of keep him in order here. How will they portray this? Oh, look what happened to a United States senator. He's being taken down by Secret Service and ICE simply because he was trying to ask a question. That's the narrative. Now, that's not what really happened, but that's what they're going to go with. And we'll continue to cover that this afternoon. We have Ethan's news this afternoon. Fred got out of the Sue's News fill-in business, didn't you, Fred? Ethan's coming up at 4:20.
He's really good.
Yeah, he is good. He's going to do a good job this afternoon. Brad Young coming up as well.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.